This is Bump, Baby and Beyond with Emma's Diary.
Hi everyone, it's Holly from Pretty Big Butterflies and Holly Plus, and you're listening to Bump, Baby and Beyond with Emma's Diary. Today I'm joined by Mum Becky, and we're going to be talking about what we'd wish we had known before becoming a mum. And well, we all know hindsight is a wonderful thing. So hi Becky, it's great to have you on the show today.
Hi, it's so exciting to be on. It's my first ever podcast. I'm pretty excited, I'm not going to lie.
Yay! You know what? It's so strange because by the end of it, we'll feel like we're best friends. Like, that's literally what happens. You get this, because we talk about so much and you open up about so much. By the end, it's like, oh gosh, I'm just going to tell you everything now.
I mean, can I be honest, Holly? I've already listened to some of your other podcasts, so I already feel like we're best friends.
Yay! Love it. I love that. No, that's great. Oh, that's really good, though, because it just goes to show that, you know, when you listen to podcasts and you relate to it, then it just goes to show you're a perfect example of actually it starts to get you to think about your own experiences, doesn't it? And you're like, hold on a second, I can relate to that. I can talk about that. So that's quite a nice feedback, actually.
Oh, thank you. Well, honestly, it's so much. And I think it's so important to have podcasts like this because honestly, I listen to it and think I'm not alone.
Yeah.
Like, other people feel the same as me. This is okay.
Exactly. Exactly. So you're a mum to one little girl. Is that right?
Yeah. I'm a mum to Indigo. She's two. She's nearly 2.5. Yeah.
What a beautiful name. I love that name.
Thank you. Do you know what? We actually called her Ava all the way through pregnancy. We called her Ava. And then when she was born, they were like, what's her name? And I was drugged up, just like, Ava, Ava's her name. And Indigo was on our list, and my husband said, I think she's an indigo. And I know this sounds corny and cheesy or whatever, but it just, there just felt like there was magic in the room. All the midwives, everyone just went, oh, and I was like, yes, okay, Indigo it is.
You've actually given me like little goosebumps. You know what? We have another podcast which we've done recently about baby names and choosing names. And it is just amazing how you go through this process. And then once they arrive, you know if they're their name or not. It's a really weird vibe, but you just know.
And honestly, like we didn't, but we were very close to getting personalised things saying Ava. Like, I was sure that she was going to be called Ava. And it just shows that actually, once they arrive, you don't know.
Oh, wow. That's so funny. So yeah. when you were pregnant with Ava and you became a mum.
Indigo.
Oh my gosh, Indigo. That's so funny.
Sorry, it's because I've said the name Ava a lot already.
I know. I was like, no, she's definitely not Ava. We changed from Ava, Holly. We changed. Yes. We changed, okay? Oh, gosh, that's so funny. So when you became a mum to Indigo. Yeah. How did you find it? Because becoming a mum can be really daunting and it is incredible as well. But how did you feel when you found out you were pregnant?
Do you know what? I was, I even feel emotional even talking about it. I was absolutely over the moon. Like, I actually, a few months before, we weren't trying to get pregnant. This is about 4 or 5 months before I fell pregnant with Indy. And I wasn't trying to get pregnant or anything. And I missed my period. And I was like, oh, okay, this is interesting. And I start to think, maybe I'm pregnant. And at first it was, oh gosh, I would hate being pregnant. Like, I really don't want to have a baby yet. Like, I'm not ready. You know, I mean, I was 28, but still I was like, you know, my life is not ready. Or maybe even 29. I was like, my life, you know, I'm not ready to give that all up. I'm not ready. And then actually about 3 or 4 weeks later, I actually did come on. Whether I actually maybe potentially had a miscarriage, I'm not actually sure, to be completely blunt with you. But for whatever reason, I actually I skipped a whole period and came on a very heavy period about 7 weeks later. And at that point, I was devastated. And at that point, I turned to my husband and was like, I would love to try, actually. And we tried, you know, I know my heart goes out to everybody that is trying because I know that feeling now. And we only had it for 3 or 4 months where you know, you would try and then your period would come and you're sat on the toilet just devastated with every single period, just thinking, why, what? Like, I really thought I would just fall pregnant, like, with a click of the fingers. I genuinely did. So when we actually found out about 3 or 4 months later that we were pregnant, it was just the best feeling in the world. It was something that I'd really decided that I wanted. So I was over the moon to find out that we were.
That's amazing. Did you find out by yourself, or did you take a pregnancy test with your partner? Did you find out together?
Do you know what? This is going to sound like a lie, but I swear on everything that this is the God's honest truth. I had this feeling. I was at work and I had this really weird, like, tingling sensation in my boobs. And I was like, that's weird. It's around the time I'd normally come on my period, and they're actually quite painful nearly. So I actually drove to our local Asda on my lunch break, picked up like a 2-pack or whatever of pregnancy tests. And I didn't even text my husband. I went straight into a cubicle because we'd had so many months of me just coming on my period. I didn't want to almost get his hopes up that I felt that something was different. So I went into this, it was like this gross cubicle with like toilet paper all over the floor and everything. Went in there really classy on my lunch break. And it came back not pregnant. And I was gutted, absolutely gutted. And I thought, oh. They say trust your body and trust your instincts. And I just, you know, I thought I did and obviously didn't. And I went home and I told Liam everything that had happened. And he was like, oh, okay, well, you know, we'll continue trying and we'll see. And that evening he was like, you are holding your boobs a lot. And I was like, they're so painful. And he said, go and get the other one and just do it. And I promise you, I did it. And it came back pregnant. And so, no, it was just, honestly, I know that sounds probably like I'm lying and that in Asda, but I think because my wee was probably really diluted because I'd like drunk throughout the day and stuff. Actually, by the evening, it was obviously a little bit more concentrated.
And also, pregnancy tests are not the easiest thing to do, you know, like weeing on a stick is not easy. Okay. It really is.
And like the angles to get it right and everything, and that little control center, like every single time I swear a weed on it.
It's quite funny because I found out I was pregnant the first time. It's quite funny because I was in Amsterdam and I love cheese and I was eating all this cheese, but I felt knackered, and I still feel sorry for my best friend to this day because she wanted to go for walks and go for strolls. It was lovely hot summer. And I was like, no, I just can't be bothered. And she was like, Holly, what is going on? Like, we've come away for the weekend. And I literally had zero energy and I was eating all this cheese. And suddenly I had heartburn for the first time in my life. I didn't even know what it was. I was like, oh my gosh, what's happening to me?
I'm having a heart attack.
I was like, what is going on? And then I was like, this is really strange. And all I kept saying is, right, Holly, when you get home, you have to get fit. You have to lose some weight because this is unacceptable. Like, that was what I was telling myself. And then actually I found out once I got home, I was actually pregnant, and it wasn't the cheese, it was a baby that was giving me the heartburn. I know.
A cheese baby. I love it.
I know, it's a cheese baby. So, you know.
So that's how you found your first symptom was heartburn.
Yeah, so my first symptom was heartburn. Yeah, it was heartburn. Never had it before. And feeling just absolutely like I had zero energy. And then with my second one, I got up in the middle of the night at like 2 o'clock and I kept going for a wee. And I was like, I never go for a wee in the night. And straight away I was like, I did that with my first one. And I was like, because it wasn't really expected, the second one. My baby was only 18 months old. And I took a pregnancy test and I sat there, and when it said pregnant, I went into my husband and I was like, you need to go and look at that, because it says one word and it's supposed to say two words. It's supposed to say not pregnant, but it only says one word, which means we're pregnant.
This one's faulty, it doesn't have the knot on it.
I know. I was like, what's going on here? But anyway, so it is amazing. So it was a great, great news then when you found out that you were pregnant, obviously. That was amazing news for you.
Amazing.
How did your life change? When you found out you were pregnant, did your life then change while you were pregnant?
I mean, I had horrific morning sickness, and by the term morning sickness, whoever created that, I want to absolutely go and give them a massive shake, because I had morning sickness, morning, afternoon, evening, night.
Yeah, I don't know about the morning. The morning thing does, yeah. It's not morning, everyone, okay? Most of the time, it is not the morning. It could be any time, but it's I don't know why, yeah. You know, but anyway.
No, and I was, and it's really hard as well, because I think that then people who maybe haven't been through pregnancy or haven't had a pregnant partner before kind of find, oh, well, it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Why are you feeling sick now? It's like, yeah. because it doesn't just go. This is just what happens.
It doesn't. The weirdest thing for me, a memory I had about morning sickness is when I was pregnant, I went to an all-you-could-eat restaurant with my friend.
Oh, love it.
As soon as I walked in, I just, that was it. It must have been the smell of the food. And I was like, I ran to the bathroom.
Oh, no.
I obviously vomited. And these other women were like, kind of, like young girls were looking at me like, oh my gosh, is she okay? Is she drunk? I was like, no, I'm not drunk. And then, because after morning sickness, you feel completely fine. Like once you've kind of got rid of it for that moment, yeah. I felt completely fine. And I just went back out to eat. And the girls in the toilet were like, what is going on? She's just been thrown up. And now she's going to all you can eat. But that's just what happens. Anytime, any place, it can happen.
Anywhere. And I really just, I was probably a bit mean to my body and I just refused to let that stop me. So as you were saying, you throw up and then you go to an all you can eat. Like I was very, very similar. Like I remember going out to my kind of, I suppose he's my brother-in-law. They're not married, but I suppose that's what he is. It was his mum's 60th birthday and they had paid for this beautiful meal for like everybody. And it was absolutely gorgeous. And I was like, I'm not going to leave early out of this. I'm not going to be someone that kind of goes, oh, sorry, I'm pregnant, but I'm not really telling anyone. I feel sick and I want to go home. And I should have done. That's definitely what I should have done. But instead, I was like, no, I'm going to sit here and really look at this meal and just pick at the chips. That's all I'm going to do. Like,
yeah, I'm not going to be the pregnant lady that goes home. I'm going to stay here and thoroughly enjoy myself. So you had morning sickness, which obviously does change things because your normal everyday routine goes a bit out the window, doesn't it? Because if you feel nauseous a lot of the time, it's hard to focus, it's hard to do your normal things.
Massively.
How did the rest of your pregnancy go in terms of just your general life? Did it feel quite normal, like everything kind of carried on as it did before?
Yeah, I think I'm really good friends with they're such a lovely family, honestly. They've got four beautiful kids, but their lives revolve around their children, if that makes sense. So feeds, naps, play dates, literally everything you can think of revolves around their children. So they actually, their lives totally changed. And I thought, I don't want to do that. I'm going to start that from when I'm pregnant because I want my baby to fit into my life. And yes, my life might change a little bit, but equally, I still want to have my life. And I think knowing that family, I was like, that's great and it works for them, but that's not what I personally want. So because of that, I definitely carried on like normal. I mean, I remember when I was 37 or 38 weeks pregnant and we went to this party and literally and everyone was like, oh, I don't think you should be dancing, you know, that much, you know, baby might come. And I was like, no, this is great, everyone do the conga, like, come on.
That's so funny. Oh my gosh, that reminds me of me. I worked up until my 36th week and I went to the Christmas party because I just wanted to have the most maternity leave off work with the baby. And
absolutely,
I went to my work Christmas party and I was kind of like wobbling around and then when I like acting, I had a great time, I felt great. It was only when I left and I tried walking back towards like to meet my husband that I was like, oh, I really should have left a bit earlier, you know. I feel really quite heavy now, but just imagining going around doing the conga.
Yes, honestly. And it's at that stage, you know, Ben, you might not realize it straight away and then it's like underneath the bump that feels so heavy. Yeah. And you're like, oh, okay, maybe I've
overdone
it a little bit.
My hips feeling a bit rough now, like, yes. We should have calmed down. So, in terms of you saying, right, yeah. Sorry, I just keep thinking about you and the conga.
Everyone do the conga.
Oh, gosh. So, obviously,
I don't even think that's the tune, but...
So during your pregnancy, you thought to yourself, right, I'm going to keep things as normal as possible, going to keep my life going, which is great. When your little one arrived, did that happen?
I mean, I tried. I did. I knew that obviously the first few weeks there would be... that everything would be completely turned on its on its toes, or whatever the phrase is, and that I would literally, you know, just be looking after this newborn baby. I absolutely knew that. But I thought there would come a period where I would settle in a bit more, and actually then my normal life-ish could resume a bit more. Mm. And I very quickly realised that there was a balance there. For example... So Indy was one of those frustrating babies that would only ever sleep in the cot. Sleep in the pram, sleep in the car seat, or sleep when she was like on me and feeding. So yeah. I really struggled. But actually what I learned very quickly is that she was, even though she did those things, she was a much happier baby if those sleeps were around the same time every day. Which I kind of thought, oh, once a baby gets, you know, tired, you know, she'll just fall asleep. But actually, I had to help her go to sleep at those times because she was just so nosy. She just loved looking around the world. And, No, in short, really. I mean, yes, my life carried on to an extent, but at the same time, it definitely wasn't the balance that I had in my head. And we still haven't got that balance to the day. At the end of the day, I think once you do have a child, actually your outlook changes as well. And whilst I wasn't being incredibly selfish with any of the things I wanted to do, I think I just thought, oh, well, if a friend wants to meet for coffee at 10:30, why wouldn't I meet for coffee at 10:30? Whereas actually... I learned that 10:30 was the literally key time that if Indigo didn't go down for a sleep at that point, but that could be in the pram. I still could be going on the way to the coffee. I might just change the coffee to 11 o'clock. It's just little changes that I had to make like that.
Yeah. And I was going to say, what did you find that you had to change the most? Because like you said, completely agree about timings. Like you suddenly realise that nothing works to your time frame anymore. Like you have to work to your baby schedule, and unless you know you want to make life a bit more difficult for yourself, you know, because the first time we went out, we went to a shopping center, and Cameo, my eldest one, he pooed, and it was so funny because I was still getting used to nappy changes and stuff like that, but I could smell his poo, like literally I could actually smell it. And it was the first time I'd been out in public with him, never been to like a you know, a changing room to change the baby, and I was like, oh my gosh. And from that day forward, I was like, okay, so I roughly know he needs a feed and a poo around this time, so I'll do my shopping trip after that. You know,
that's exactly
life just completely changed
in those terms. I think you get to know your baby and you get to know roughly what works. And frustratingly, we've got loads of amazing baby groups here where I live, but nearly all of them were around that 10:30 time. And I knew that that 10:30 time was the worst time to be trying to keep her awake because, she would just be cranky for the rest of the day, basically. Yeah. And but I found that if she didn't go down. Yeah, you do. Yeah. And then you adapt. And I think that's exactly it. I think I kind of had in my head that I'd do all these amazing, lovely things and go to all these groups. But actually, sometimes you look and go, actually, that one doesn't fit with our schedule, and that one, and as much as I kind of hated the word schedule, I don't mind using it now. We're nearly two and a half years in. I don't mind using it, but back then I really hated schedule because I think I just wanted it to feel quite natural, and schedule felt a bit too forced.
Bit harsh.
If that makes sense.
Exactly. It seems a bit too rigid. And then also what happens is sometimes you feel like you're putting pressure on yourself. No, we have to do it at this time. And then no, she should be asleep at this time. Well, actually, things can't be that rigid because your baby's a little human and they'll kind of do whatever they want.
Yes, that's exactly it.
You know, you don't have that much control.
I think I just thought that if a baby got tired enough, they would just fall asleep anywhere. And we had literally the polar opposite of that. If she got tired enough, she would keep herself awake. So actually, I had more of a battle on my hands. So it was much easier to cut my losses and realise the times that were better just to sit down and do nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Make sure that she goes to sleep. Yeah.
So obviously your scheduling change. And I guess what comes with that is a slight change in social life and what you can kind of do now you're a mum. Did you feel like your relationships changed around you? So your friendships or your relationships with your family when you had your baby, did they change?
I mean, I suppose I'd love to sit here and say, no, you know, they all stayed exactly the same, but that just wouldn't be true at all. I've got some friends that we keep in touch through like group chats, but actually I don't even know the last time we met up. I mean, obviously it's lockdown, but equally maybe they've met Indy once or twice. And then I've got other friends that maybe have children the same age and suddenly they become a lot closer and they become a lot of like the closer friends than I would have expected. So my relationships definitely did change with people. It doesn't mean to say I've necessarily lost friendships, but I would say that some of the people that I was closest to before getting pregnant, some of them are probably not my closest friends now. And I think it's just because my priorities change and our lives change. And if someone has never been through that age, you know, that your baby's at now, it's quite difficult to relate, I think. I've been that friend on the other end as well. I've been that friend when everyone else was pregnant and had kids and I was just like, the friend that was like, oh, I'm babies sure that's again. Fine. Yeah. Well, the baby can't come on a night out with us.
Yeah.
What
do you mean? Yeah. Just ruining everything again. I think it's life changing, isn't it? And there's life stages as well. And I had friends that I was really close with when I was pregnant and they did an amazing baby shower and stuff like that. And now it's really sad, but actually we don't talk anymore. Not because we fell out. But we stopped having anything in common and they were very much still kind of dating and finding someone and that they were at that kind of stage where I had a baby and kind of, you know, we couldn't relate to each other, you know.
Yes, I totally get that.
But then I've got friends who were around then and who, you know, they don't have children. They don't wish to have children, but they're very much still around, you know, because I guess it's just different people, isn't it? Relationships do change and you think about things differently as well. And I think sometimes it can be really hard to keep friendships and relationships going when you've got this brand new baby because it takes up all your time. And I don't know about you, but I said to myself, right, I'm not going to be about that person who always talks about their baby. And I became that person.
It's impossible. It is impossible. I always find that I kind of have to catch myself, even now, 2.5 years in, I kind of feel like I don't know what to speak about. And I have to be like, hang on a second, you were a person before Indigo came along. What did you find interesting topics of conversation? And sometimes I genuinely have to like think that logically about what I'm usually like a really easygoing, quite I always enjoyed small talk with other people and stuff, and actually take away the baby chat.
I know it is funny though, isn't it? But do you find that so do you, and how are things changed for you and your partner? Because I feel like you go from having just you two in this relationship and it's like, oh, you have everything in the world, you can do whatever you want anytime, and then you have this baby and then it's like, oh, now what do we do? Did the baby change your relationship with your partner?
I mean, so me and Liam had been together quite a few years before having Indy, and we'd gone traveling together for 2 years, which was just incredible. And I think in our heads we were just like, we really wanted to kind of do the kind of classic thing of marriage, house, baby, but at the same time I think probably quite naively we still thought that we could travel, not necessarily, you know, for 2 years at a time, but still go away on kind of like reasonably exotic holidays or whatever, not even necessarily like really nice holidays, but kind of like holidays that would kind of like capture, you know, our imaginations and stuff. And we'd be like, oh, this will be great. And when we were traveling, we used to be like, wow, can you imagine if you were a child and you got taken here and stuff? And that's just not going to happen, unfortunately, at the moment, obviously with lockdown. But even without lockdown, I think a luxury holiday for us now would genuinely be like a log cabin in a woods somewhere. Yeah. our life has completely changed. Yeah,
I feel like for me now to have a holiday, and this probably sounds really mean, and I'm sure not everyone feels this way, but for me to have a holiday, I kind of don't want the kids to be there, because otherwise I feel like I'm not having a holiday. You know, I totally need a break.
And do you know what? If you had said that to me before, I don't know whether it's because Indy's now in the terrible two stage or whether it's because literally in lockdown, me and my husband have been the only people that have looked after Indy. So we haven't had any other support around us. And that's not because we're not blessed with lovely family, but unfortunately we have lots of vulnerable people around us. So I don't know whether it's because she's in her terrible twos or because it's, you know, a year of lockdown, but my gosh, what I would give even just for a 3-day break. It doesn't even have to be somewhere hot. just somewhere I don't have to think about someone else's meals and drinks and sleep times. And oh, I would love it.
It is funny because when Kenway was first born, I think he was really, I can't remember how old he was, just a few months old. And we went away to like a lodge, you know, when them ones got like a hot tub and stuff outside.
Yes.
And it was really lovely, but I just couldn't, I felt like I couldn't completely relax because I was constantly watching him, like just had to constantly make sure he was okay. And just, was he okay? Because he wasn't in the same environment that he's used to. And to be honest, actually, he absolutely loved it. He loved having this new place to look at, and he slept absolutely fine. I think as long as he was with us, we could have been anywhere. But as a parent, you have all these anxieties, don't you? That, oh, you know, how's he going to feel? What's going to happen? Actually, as long as he's with you, doesn't really matter where you are in the world.
And I mean, the amount that you have to pack up literally for like a 3-day break, and you just I remember our first holiday, actually it was 7 days, and we went away, literally just to Somerset. We went away to stay in like what you've just kind of described, and we thought it'd be lovely, you know, although she's only 6 months old, actually it'd be nice to have a bit of change of scenery and do something a little bit different. And actually, when I was packing up the travel cot, I mean, I still am a really like neurotic, paranoid mum. So we had like a breathing monitor, like literally when you're packing up all this stuff and you're thinking, is there any point? Like, and I mean, it was lovely to get away, but there was so much to think about. And she had literally just turned 6 months. So I actually delayed weaning her for a week because I just was like, I'm not weaning her on holiday.
Yeah. And even like the nappies, the amount of nappies that newborns go through. It's like, if I did go abroad, I would have to take a whole suitcase just of nappies. Just of nappies. I would have done. That would have happened.
It's so, can you imagine the baggage allowance? Like, that would be like the amount of, like, you know, the holiday alone. The amount of bags I'd have to take.
I know, exactly. So obviously, and what was your work situation then when you had your little one? Were you on maternity leave, or what happened with that?
Well, actually, I was actually made redundant when I was pregnant, and it came as a massive shock to me, massive shock. And I have to say that I didn't know about it at the time, but I hope I'm allowed to say on here, but there's an amazing Instagram page called Pregnant Then Screwed. I wish I'd known about it, because actually it just shows how common it is, unfortunately, that a lot of people, whilst they're pregnant, are made redundant. Once you're on maternity leave, you actually have loads of laws in place to protect you.
Yeah.
But unbelievably, when you're pregnant, they don't exist, which I found completely shocking. I couldn't believe it. I literally couldn't believe it, and was looking through all these manuals like, no, surely this is against the law. And it wasn't at all. Technically, I wasn't made redundant because I was pregnant. But equally, you know, it still sucks when you're pregnant and made redundant.
Of course, yeah, because it's like, hold on, not only am I about to have a massive change, but I wasn't prepared for this as well.
Yeah, and do you know what? I think pregnancy, hormones, everything, I was absolutely devastated. And my mum said to me, Becky, this is a blessing in disguise. I feel it. And I was just like, oh, I don't know. You know, it's a reasonably well-paid job. It's something that actually I really enjoy. And I was really planning on taking the 9 months maternity leave and returning, like, that was genuinely, it wasn't even something that I thought that I wouldn't return. Like, that was genuinely something that I had planned out, that that's what I was going to do. And instead I was 6 months pregnant thinking, oh gosh, I don't know. Yeah. But actually, my mum was totally right. It was. I got the last 3 months of my pregnancy, I actually just got to get prepared for Indy, and, you know, sorting out the room, sorting out clothes. We actually had bought a house that we were kind of doing up, and it just, it really helped, and I could put my feet up more. And I know definitely I wouldn't have looked after my body as much if I was working. So actually I really looked after myself, which was just great. And it did mean, I'm sorry to make anyone jealous, but it did mean that I did get, you know, quite a few lay-ins and stuff, and which really helped again with the sickness. Yeah. So there were real positives. Obviously, that, you know, that's putting a really nice glossy coat on it, because it also means that as soon as she arrives, I don't have a job to go back to.
Yeah.
which was the downside to it.
Did you go back? Did you decide to go back to work, or?
We needed to, if I'm honest. I would have loved to not go, and Liam would have loved it if I didn't have to go to work. I was loving, and still am obviously, but I was loving being a mum, and I would have been more than happy to just be full-time mum. but unfortunately, we didn't need an awful lot more, but we needed a few hundred pounds more a month, basically, to do it. So what I actually found was, there was a local, like, holiday park that we've got, that's not too far away from us. And because they're sort of, you know, they're seasonal, but they're a holiday park, so they need people through the night and everything. So actually, I ended up doing an evening job there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was, there are massive bonuses and benefits and everything to it. Being that during the middle of the summer, I could still meet up with my friends and their babies, and we could go out and have picnics and play dates and go to these places. And yet I still was bringing in money. Like, that was lovely.
Yeah.
But I suppose the downside was it was 3 nights a week, sometimes 4, but mainly 3 nights a week. And I was in my uniform making dinner, and literally, like, my husband would come through and we'd just have to swap. He would be feeding Indy and I'd just have to jump in the car, get going. And then I'd be working until 11, 12 o'clock at night and then coming back.
It's amazing, isn't it, how things, when you've had a baby, if you've been on maternity leave or something's happened to your job along the way, it's amazing how afterwards, or during that maternity leave when your baby's just arrived, you kind of start thinking differently about your work, don't you? And not everyone. Definitely. Some people do go back to work and they go back to the same career, and that's amazing because they really enjoy it and that's brilliant. And sometimes people just do something completely different and completely change their working hours, or they have to, you know. Some people are in a situation where they have to change their working hours because of childcare and things like that. And obviously your situation's a bit different because you was made redundant, but did you ever, when you knew he was being made redundant and you was going to have the baby, could you ever imagine yourself doing something that with such different hours? Was that like a really new concept to you?
Completely new. I mean, I had done, you know, when in my teenage years, I'd done similar, you know, worked in pubs or worked in hotels, I'd done similar. But I think the job that I was made redundant for was something that I felt I'd worked for quite a while towards. Like, I'd got lots of transferable skills from that role. I'd really kind of like worked my way up. It was quite a decent wage. And I don't think I could ever have imagined that then I'd go back to doing an evening job for minimum wage, which was, well, if I'm being honest, more along the lines of something I did when I was 18, 19. Like, I think pre-pregnant Becky would have been like, no, what are you doing, that's a terrible career move. But once I had Indy, like you said, your perspective just completely changed. And actually what I wanted was just to have a balance of family life. And I'm not saying that that was the perfect balance, because I was exhausted, like actually exhausted. But equally at the same time, like I said, it did give me that balance that on those hot summer days, I could meet up with friends and we could go to events and things. And
yeah.
And I'm really, really grateful. And I got all that extra kind of time with her, which was lovely, that I wouldn't have had, and seeing her grow up. So,
and yeah. you do, I think, as a parent, you just do whatever's best, don't you? You just try your best and you just try yep. and make things work. Because being a mum is quite, it is scary. It's a new thing. I always say there's no manual, because if there was, I would have it already.
Oh, that's my goodness. Sure. And the thing is, even if there was a manual, the baby wouldn't have read it. Like, so it's
exactly.
like, ah!
Exactly.
You
and my,
never win.
That's the thing. And my manual won't work for you. I can take tips from it, but everyone yes. needs a different manual. That's the thing. So this is yeah. quite a big question. But what do you think is the scariest thing about being a mum and becoming a mum? What's the scariest thing for you?
Probably knowing that there is this little human that is fully relying on me. And fully relying on me to bring them up. So whether that's feeding them the right thing, or I don't know, giving them enough cuddles, or teaching them to, like at the minute we're teaching Indy to share and be kind. And also, like, knowing deep down what's right for, like, your child, and knowing, like, when to fight for them. Indy's got lots of allergies, and they haven't just been, oh, yes, that's a milk allergy or whatever. I've fought and fought and fought to see different people and the right people. And sometimes I thought, I'm crazy. What am I doing? Like, but actually, it's knowing that you're their voice, like you're that, and that's a lot of responsibility. That's very scary.
Yeah, when you definitely. Think about it, but... No, I agree. Yeah. I completely agree. I think for me, the scariest thing I found when I first became a mum, when I first had Cameo, the scariest yeah. thing for me was I felt like my life had changed overnight. So we got the baby yes. home, and suddenly I couldn't just pop to the supermarket, and I couldn't just go and have a nap, or I couldn't just go and have a bath. I couldn't watch rubbish on TV when I felt like it. And for me, yeah. it was the scary part was never being able to go back to that. It was right, this has happened now, and we just have to move forward. And I found that quite overwhelming and that quite scary.
I can totally get that. I remember, obviously, in the very early days, incredibly, she was breastfeeding and cluster feeding, and so literally attached to my boob non-stop. But I got through like a box set of like 90210, and I was like, this is the life, like this is great, like yeah. yes, it sucks I haven't been anywhere, but equally like, oh, this is awesome. I definitely missed that episode the first time around. And now, I mean, I'm lucky if I can, I don't know, even just put on, I don't know, the news for 2 seconds. Like, honestly, my life, you know, I just can't switch on the TV. So like you said, there was a definite time when that just switched, and I was yeah. like, whoa, hang on a
it
second.
Does. And then
I don't even get something for myself.
No, exactly. It becomes, you kind of lose yourself a little bit sometimes, which is a yes. bit scary, especially at the beginning, because it's so, like you said, it's a huge responsibility. So to level it out yeah. then, what would you say is the best thing about being a mum for you?
Oh,
I feel like there's loads, God, isn't there? Like when you
yeah,
think about it, there are loads of things.
Such a big question. Oh my gosh. I mean, just everything, literally everything. I think there's something at every single stage that she's at that I've gone, oh, this is the best. I love this. So for example, right this moment, Indy has just started to saying, I love you. But she says, I say, I love you so, so, so much. And she says, I love you too, 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 mummy.
Wow. So cute.
I think I can't put a word on it, but it's that feeling that you get. So it's that first smile. It's that feeling you get from the first smile. And it's that kind of those cut. I don't know. There's just this overwhelming feeling that you just want to bottle and keep forever.
Yeah,
and,
I'm so with you on yeah. that 100%. Just those first yeah. moments, like you said, I've got Cameo's first little giggle on film because I was roaring at him like a dinosaur. And just those first moments, I think no matter how much of a struggle it can be, how tired yeah. you might feel, those yeah. little moments are absolutely priceless. Like, and
totally.
And just make everything seem like it's almost like a little pat on the back, like those little moments yes. where they first roll over or sit up or gurgle some random sound, you know. It's just
you're so spot on, because I think that goes back as well to like my fear, and my fear is that, you know, I'm not doing it right, or I'm not I don't know, being there or quite getting this right. And then you get that, I don't know, that milestone, and then you go, oh my gosh, well, I must be doing something right because you're doing this.
Exactly. And that's the thing, yeah. isn't it? So just to finish off then, if you had one golden tip or advice for a parent to be, what yep. would that be? What would be that golden nugget, that one tip? Oh
God, it's hard, isn't it?
It is. It really is.
Yeah. I think don't doubt yourself is probably the biggest thing, because everyone and everywhere has always got an opinion on how you're going to parent. They'll always be, unfortunately, comparing your baby to when they're rolling compared to when you rolled as a child, or, you know, or when they're walking or talking, and they all weigh different weights, and yet, oh, that, you know, your baby's a bit heavy, or, oh, your baby should eat a bit more than that. Everything, yeah. everyone's always got an opinion, and sometimes that's really, really warranted and needed, but equally at the same time, just don't doubt yourself. I think that I just think, like, we were personally so lucky to be surrounded by so many lovely supportive people, but even some of their comments, they didn't mean it to hurt, but some of their comments did hurt. Even now we had something a few weeks ago of, oh, should Indy be walking a bit more than that, she shouldn't be going in the pram that much, and you just think, don't make me feel like I'm not doing this right, because I am, I know. So just don't doubt yourself.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm going to be really cheeky and steal something else as well, and take pictures is what I'm going to say as yes. well. Please just take pictures.
Although I have like 42,000 pictures on my phone. Like, that's not even an exaggeration. I don't quite know what to do with them. Like, any that. Tips, yes. any advice, well, please, people, give them to me, because I don't know what to
please
do.
Please let us know. I set up like a private Facebook album, but I don't know what other people do. I'd love to know what other people do. So I've just said it so no one else can see it, just me and my husband, but at least then they're somewhere.
Any ideas, please let us know, because honestly, I don't know what to do. But in terms of,
I would,
like,
love to know.
Tips and advice, definitely agree. Don't doubt yourself. You're doing a great job. And also just on top of that, I'd say don't be too hard on yourself. So
yes,
you're doing an amazing job, a brand new thing. You might feel different. Your body might feel different. You've got a new human in your house that you're looking after.
Yes.
You know, so just don't be so hard on yourself. Do try and fit in little things that you like, whether that's asking someone to watch the baby while you have a bath, or having a nice cup of tea occasionally. Just try and do those little things that make you feel good, and don't be so hard on yourself as well, because it is hard.
I absolutely love that. That's so lovely.
But I have to say, Becky, honestly, I have so enjoyed this podcast, and I could actually keep talking. So I mean, I feel like we could just keep on going. I'm sure everyone keep listening, but I feel like I just want to throw the paperwork away and just sit and just chat for the rest of the afternoon.
Can we just chat? Can we just put the world to rights and just chat everything, please?
I can't believe
we've been chatting this long. It feels like about 2 minutes.
I know. But thank you so much for coming on and sharing your experience as a mum.
Thank you so much for having us. Honestly.
It's been an actual laugh as well, because it's such a serious topic, and it's been so nice to laugh about it as well, because it is great. It's great becoming a mum. And there are really great sides of it, even if it can be difficult. So thank you so much.
Even the poo explosions can be
poo
fun.
Poo explosions. Or if they poo in public and it absolutely stinks and you're just trying to hold your sweet little cute baby there.
Yeah. And there we go. And I'm sorry, I know you said one, but actually roll down the vest. I didn't know this for ages. You can roll down the vest from the head down, if that makes sense. If they do a poo explosion, it doesn't need to go over their head. Mind blown. Like,
I know. I know. It's honestly the little tips. We'll have to maybe do a podcast of like little tips or things like that. We'll have to look into that. Yeah. But anyway,
before
you go, where can people, do you have an online presence where people can follow you?
Yeah, I do. So I've got an online kind of, it's completely free online baby and toddler group that I started because of the pandemic. So it's called facebook.com/totstogether. We're also on Instagram, which I definitely need to grow my presence with. So if you guys are on Instagram, like, please help me.
Oh, we will.
But yeah, we do songs, dancing, Makaton, stories, bubbles, literally all completely free for everyone to join in. So yeah, we would absolutely love people to come and join us.
Thank you so much, Becky. It's been absolutely lovely talking to you. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you so much, Holly. I've absolutely loved it.
Have a lovely afternoon. Speak to you soon.
You too. Take care. Bye.
Bye.